Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour three of the Diddy Takeover of Offsides with Mark Ryan. I am Diddy. He is Lonzo, and we want you to be a part of the fun. Give us a call, 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. You can text us at 71307. Start that message with ESPN so we know you're talking to us. Or find us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate, where you can vote on the four Diddy Takeover Twitter polls of the day. As always, at 5 o'clock on Offsides with Mark Ryan, there's a top five at five, so we're keeping it alive. Top five at five time. Yeah, and we're back in the NFL this time with top five at five. Today's top five at five is the top five reasons you should be excited for this weekend's conference championship games, the AFC Conference Championship, the NFC Conference Championship, both on the line this Sunday. And you can hear them both right here on ESPN Upstate. Number five, this is what you wanted, isn't it? Right? All of you fans out there, one of the four teams playing this weekend in the conference championship was in the conference championship games last year, and that's one you like, not the one you hate in the Patriots. They're gone. They're at home. Saints at home. Their fans, quiet. No pass interference to talk about today. And golfing with them, the St. Louis, LA, wherever they want to move to next year, Rams. Not sniffing the playoffs, the Rams. So you're down to one of the four teams you saw at this level last year. It's all new for you. All new chances, all new opportunities. You're guaranteed a Super Bowl champion that has not won a Super Bowl in at least the better part of a decade, almost a decade, with the Green Bay Packers. With the Titans, they've never won a Super Bowl. With the Chiefs, they haven't won since 1970. The Niners, 1995. So all of the folks who whine and cry and complain every time, oh, it's always the Patriots. I don't want to see the same teams every year. Well, guess what, everybody? You get a new champion this year. So get excited. No matter how this shakes out, it's going to be one hell of a ride through the rest of the NFL playoffs. Moving on to number four. It's the matchup I'm excited for, probably the most excited for as far as matchups are concerned, and it's Aaron Rodgers against the 49ers defense. That is going to be insane. Regardless of how bad the Packers looked when they traveled to San Francisco earlier in the season, they still have Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron's been up, he's been down, he's been up, he's been down, but he's still, again, Aaron Rodgers. He's got the experience, he's got the ability, and he's got the magic. Can he create this magic one more time and get this big win on the road? And he's going to have to do it against one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in all of football. Definitely the best defense left after the Patriots got knocked out of the playoffs. Last week, Rodgers relied heavily on Davante Adams. 8 passes to him, 160 yards, 2 touchdowns. But to beat this second-ranked 49ers defense, you're going to have some help from Aaron Jones. He's going to have a big game. The rushing attack's going to have to get going. The Niners allowing just 281.8 yards in the regular season per game, second best in the NFL. They allowed just 169.2 yards per game passing, which is the best in the NFL, and they gave up just 19.4 points per game. They dominated the Packers 37-8 in Week 12 back in November. The rematch makes this matchup so much more interesting. And again, so does this battle between the legend that is Aaron Rodgers and the dominance that we have seen from the 49ers defense. Plus, this is a legendary playoff matchup. This is one where we've seen in past years, in past decades, some legendary playoff games between the Packers and the 49ers. So I am totally here for this one. Number three, top five reasons for you to be excited about this weekend's conference championship games. It's the Cinderella story, of course. The Tennessee Titans, they are not supposed to still be playing football. They should not be playing football right now. There's no reason for them to be here. They came into the postseason 9-7, a wild card team. They had to go to New England, go to Baltimore, and they did it and won. They somehow survived and advanced, and now led by that monster of a man known as Derrick Henry, the Titans are invading Arrowhead Stadium for the AFC Championship game. Folks will wonder why I want college football playoff expansion. This right here is why I love an underdog, a Cinderella. We love it in the NFL. We love it in college hoops. Why not love it in college too? But I digress from the main point. The Cinderella Titans are the one team this postseason that has that team of destiny feel. They keep getting it done. They keep doing it with Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback. Ryan Tannehill, everybody, repeat after me. Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback of a team in an AFC championship game. It is insane. And if their brand of bended but don't break defense works in Kansas City, can hold the daunted offense of the Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes in check, Mike Vrabel and the Titans could be heading to Miami, and that would be crazy. No sane person in this world could have predicted the Titans going to the Super Bowl, and that is possible. So that's number three reason why you should be excited. The last two should get you excited, Lonzo, because they have to do a lot with your Kansas City Chiefs. Number two, Mahomes and Reed. They can finally punch that ticket to the Super Bowl. It's been a long year for the Chiefs and a longer year for their fans. A heartbreaking overtime loss to the Patriots a year ago in which they didn't get to possess the football. Now, to take a little bit of a quote from Steve Young, it's this is their chance to get the monkey off their back and head to the Super Bowl. Mahomes' time to shine is now. After what they did Sunday to the Texans, I cannot wait to see what he has in store for the Titans this Sunday. The Chiefs are favored by 7.5 points. They have home field advantage, and again, they have Patrick Mahomes. I do not see any way the Chiefs lose this weekend. I see them finally punching that ticket, getting the monkey off their back, getting over the hump, and moving on to the Super Bowl. And that's something that any impartial NFL fan should be excited for. Seeing Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl would be exciting for anybody that doesn't have a dog in the fight. Number one reason you should be excited for this weekend's conference championship games, it's the potential for the historic Super Bowl, right? If you're confused, I'll explain it to you. Super Bowl I, 1967, Kansas City Chiefs, Green Bay Packers. 54 editions later, it could be Kansas City Chiefs, Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl. That one was the Coliseum in LA. This one would be down at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Of course, the Titans and Niners, they don't want this to happen. They don't want to already bow out. I'm rooting for this one personally because since all my team is gone, my team is no longer, they are not in the playoffs. They have bowed out of this thing. So I am rooting for this because not only is it full circle in Super Bowl history to this point, it also gives us the best remaining quarterback battle left for the Super Bowl matchup. Jimmy G, my guy, love him. Wish he was still in New England, but he is not anywhere near Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. Ryan Tannehill, let's be real, he's not the reason the Titans are in the AFC Championship game. I want to see great quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, and that would be Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. I just think of that buildup, man. 2 weeks to get ready for Packers, Chiefs, Mahomes, Rodgers. I cannot wait. That is unquestionably, for me, the number one reason to be excited for this week's conference championship games. Lonzo, you're probably already excited because your team's playing, but did I help increase the excitement a little bit?
I didn't really think about that matchup right there because I think San Francisco's going, but that is a lot more fun to have Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers there. Ah, man.
And then it's 54 years in the making, the rematch of Super Bowl I.
I'm still afraid of the Titans. I'm sorry.
I'd just be afraid of Derrick Henry. I'm not really afraid of anything else the Titans have to offer, but Derrick Henry, my God. Another 195 yards, you're in trouble.
Well, the best thing about Kansas City is they can spot you 20-something points and still come back and win. So, I mean, here's what I say you do. You just let Derrick Henry score every time he touches the ball. Just let him score. Now you can't do that.
Just keep time on the clock?
Yeah. just so you have extra time.
Don't let them work the clock with him. Just let him go.
I mean, how do you stop that guy? No one really has stopped him.
I really don't know.
Yeah, I'm playing all this up, but I still believe the Chiefs are going to win.
Well, of course. So. You got to go for the reverse jinx, right? It didn't work, though, for our friend Cole Bryson yesterday.
Yeah, I don't – again, I don't believe in superstition. I don't believe in jinxes. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I think the best team that day is going to win. I do not believe that comes down to a touchdown or less. I think it might be something a whole lot more. But it didn't win – the Titans won last week either. So
that is true. That is true. And I feel like it's going to be lopsided, to be perfectly honest. I don't see the Titans being able to hang again. Three straight road games and three very tough environments on the road in the playoffs. A team with experience for days in the Kansas City Chiefs, who were right there, one offsides penalty away from a Super Bowl a year ago. I think the chip on the shoulder, the overall talent, and how this defense for Kansas City has played in this, down the last stretch of the season, far and away going to blow out this Titans team.
I got to admit, I wasn't worried last week. And I've said this, and some people don't believe me, but I was not worried last week, even when they were down that much because it was first quarter. This week I'm concerned. I'm worried that Derrick Henry's going to hurt somebody.
It's hard to not be concerned because we were all so wrong. Last week, now, 2 weeks ago, I told you it was going to happen. You called it too,
yes,
and caught hell from Mark Ryan for saying it. But last week, there's nobody in their right mind that really thought it was going to happen again and happen to the Baltimore Ravens. Not like that, especially because they put up like 530 yards and only scored 20 points. That's insane. And that's the problem, I think, for the Chiefs. And that's something you should worry about, is if they come out cold like they did last week against the Texans and give 24 up to the Titans. I don't know if they can come back on the Titans D. Titans D is far and away better than the Houston Texans D. They're definitely playing as if they are right now.
I don't think that that if Mahomes is on his game, I don't think there's a defense that can stop him. But, you know, we'll see.
We will see.
We'll see. And they're playing at home again.
Yeah.
They got that off their back last week. They won at home. They're in this game again for the second year in a row. They remember what happened last year. They are hungry, and we're not going to see drop passes like we did last week.
How massive is that Dolphins win in Week 17 right
now? Oh, it's great. It's excellent.
Because the Patriots get the bye. They probably end up with home field if it works out the same way, if the Titans go in and beat Baltimore, but they would have had to beat Kansas City in round two, and I'm not sure that would have happened anyway. But
just because of that, I hope the Dolphins get Joe Burrow somehow.
Ugh, I can't handle that.
No, just let him go play in the sun. You know,
I want to still like him.
These are the Chiefs fans' gift to you.
This is the Chiefs' gift
to
you. Yes.
You get Joe Burrow. Thank you for making us number two.
We appreciate the first
round. Let us help you with trades to make this happen.
We got a text on the text line. You asked who can stop Derrick Henry. Texter says, who the heck wants to stop Derrick Henry? When he gets going, it's like hitting a freight train with a car. Yeah, it is.
And yeah, but you still have to game plan it. You still got to figure it out. And one good thing about it, though, is that Kansas City's already played the Titans this season. You know, there are seasons where you got a matchup in a playoff where you haven't played that team. They played them, and the Titans beat them. So they know what to expect come this week, and so they can look at their own film, and they can look at what they did last week, and guys who had pain the next day, they know what to expect, and maybe they try to hit them in a different way this time. I don't know.
Yeah, and you'd think that the amount of punishment starts to wear a little bit. I mean, if they get through this, obviously 2 weeks off is going to be nice for Derrick Henry, but coming into this one, you've had two games where he's been hit a lot because he's been running the ball a lot.
Well, the goal is to stack the line and make Tannehill beat you, but if you stack the line and you still can't stop Derrick Henry, then you've got a problem.
Big problem.
And we've seen that happen, so.
Yeah, that definitely was, I would assume that was the Patriots' plan, and it did not work. They were not able to stack the line and stop him, but we want to get back into college football. We'll be back to the college or the NFL playoffs, shortly, but we need a expert's opinion. We need more insight, more breakdowns, and more knowledge on the national championship game and what to expect going in to next fall's college football season. So we turn to our old friend of the program, friend of mine, Matt Mershell, college football insider for the Orlando Sentinel. He joins us next on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The national championship is in the books, and the LSU Tigers are your national champions for this year in college football. To help us recap everything we watched last night and look forward to next season in college football, we welcome in Matt Mershell, national college football insider for the Orlando Sentinel. Make sure to check out his amazing podcast, Gridiron 365, on iTunes and Android. Give him a follow on Twitter at @OSMattMershell. Matt, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
No problem. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing well. A little tired. The game went a little late for us last night.
Yeah, it was. I think, unfortunately, that's the thing about, you know, national championship games and kicking them off at 8 o'clock on a Monday night. You know, that game didn't get over until, what, about 12:20. So there are a lot of tired people going around the world right now.
When you're volunteering to run the Twitter account for your radio station, you're up till about 1 following up after the game, too. So it was a long night for us here in Greenville in Clemson territory. But when you look at this game, obviously, it ends up going one way in the end. It looked kind of like a good battle down in the middle of the game. LSU just ends up pacing them. When you look at this LSU team, are they one of the best teams you've ever seen in college football?
I think it's a recent memory. They are. I mean, definitely. How can you? And when you look at the performance they put together this year, there really wasn't any game at all. You know, in the 15 games where they looked, you know, like they were in trouble. I think maybe last night at the first half was probably the closest they've looked to maybe having someone come, you know, being able to beat them. But other than that, you know, they just put on together a strong performance. I would say maybe comparing them to like the 2001, you know, Miami Hurricane. Mm-hmm. And maybe in the 90s with Nebraska, you know, with Tommy Frazier. I think those are some great teams. I think this LSU team is probably going to be up there as well based on the kind of, explosive offensive play that they put together this year.
Matt Mershell of the Orlando Sentinel with us here talking national championship on ESPN Upstate. Clemson looked a little human finally. 29 straight wins. They lose last night. Obviously, there's nothing for them to hang their heads about with what they've been able to accomplish, but what kind of went wrong most for Clemson last night and led to this loss?
Well, I think what went wrong is in the second half. You know, I think LSU made some bigger adjustments. I think they really got more physical with the Clemson wide receivers. You saw, you know, basically try to push them around a little bit. And they made things a little bit more difficult for Trevor Lawrence, you know, to find those open receivers. He really had to struggle, and he overthrew a bunch of guys. And I think at times, you know, they limited whatever Travis Etienne could do as well on the ground. And they really just kind of made Clemson very one-dimensional. And then once LSU got the lead and once they really kind of started to build on that, it just became a little tougher for Clemson to kind of come back. I don't think they'd faced a team like an LSU that had that kind of explosiveness, was really kind of almost – methodical when you talk about their offense, how they kind of marched down the field. And I think at some point Joe Burrow just, you know, stepped up and really kind of took control of the game, maybe in the second half. And I think that's really what the thing that Clemson, you know, just really couldn't overcome. They couldn't find a way to get to Joe Burrow. They couldn't find a way to make him look human.
When you talk about Joe Burrow, too, how special do you think he is as a college quarterback, and where do you really put him in the hierarchy of quarterbacks you've seen play?
Well, I think this year's been very special for him. I think, you know, obviously the performance he had, you don't just throw 60 touchdowns in a season and set, you know, an NCAA record and not have a special kind of season. It's interesting to me because I think people tend to forget that Joe Burrow, you know, this is a guy who was like a third-string quarterback at Ohio State a couple years ago. Yeah. Went to LSU, was okay last year, was kind of, you know, it was great, but not, you know, I would saw him like one of the best in the country. Mm-hmm. And then this year, things just kind of took off. So I'm interested to see how Joe Burrow makes the transition from college to the pros. I mean, I think the system that Joe Brady, their passing coordinator, brought in this year really kind of worked well with, you know, Joe Burrow. I think it all together, him and the system, worked together really well. And I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, how can Burrow take that to the next level? How can he become, you know, and elevate his game? I think that's something that's going to be interesting.
Matt Mershell of the Orlando Sentinel here with us on ESPN Upstate. Looking at last year for Burrow, they get to that last game of the season. They beat UCF in the New Year's Six Bowl, and that's really the coming out party for Joe Burrow. Do you think that played more into how confident and how cool and collected he was this year? Or was it really Joe Brady and his influence coming in and taking over this passing attack?
Well, I think there's a little bit of both. I mean, I think definitely Joe Burrow felt confident after that win. You saw LSU kind of come off of that season where they looked like they were getting better. They were getting confidence as the season went on. And then they come into this year, and I think one of the things that Ed Orgeron doesn't get enough credit for was he was willing to make some changes. I mean, he brought in a Joe Brady. He took, you know, he took offensive coordinator Steve Ettinger, and he said, listen, you guys are going to work together. You're going to put together this offense. It's going to be more high-powered, more tempo-based. A lot of precision, you know, a lot of things that go on with the wide receivers, and they were able to implement that. And for Joe, you know, for Joe Burrow to come in and be able to just kind of embrace that and thrive in that system, that says a lot about him. Because some quarterbacks, it takes a little bit more time. You know, it's not easy to have a new system and to deal with that. But you know, for Burrow, he was able to take advantage of that, and you saw him grow, and you saw the system really kind of work well around him. I think next year is going to be interesting for LSU. Whoever steps into that quarterback position, whether it's going to be Miles Brennan or whether it's going to be a graduate transfer, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they flourish in that system, because I think it's something that definitely could help them out and help improve some people. You know, De'Aaron King, the Houston quarterback, you know, announced he was transferring. I think it was like 11 o'clock last night from Houston, and I'm sure a lot of LSU fans started to pick their ears up a little bit, thinking, well, like, there might be the you know, the heir apparent to Joe Burrow. So it's going to be interesting to see who steps in that quarterback position.
Matt Mershell, Orlando Sentinel College Football Insider, here with us on ESPN Upstate. When you look at that transfer portal, I seem to enjoy it. A lot of people don't like it. How do you feel about the transfer portal? And don't you think it kind of led us to a really good playoff? Three of the four quarterbacks this year were transfers?
Yeah, I think so. Listen, I think it's something that's going to be around for a while. I think it's something that these premier teams are going to take advantage of. We saw Georgia, you know, after that, you know, after they saw that Jake Fromm was leaving to go to the NFL early, you know, Georgia picks up the Wake Forest quarterback, Jamie Newman. You know, and that's a huge deal for Georgia. That's a guy who's experienced, a guy who had success at Wake Forest. You know, now he comes to Georgia, brings that experience with him. That's going to help them out, because right now they really didn't have anyone that could step up in that position. I think you're going to see that from a lot of these premier programs, where if there's a top-notch, you know, quarterback or a top-notch running back or something that fills a need for them, they can go into that transfer portal and get someone and put him in there. And I think that's just something that's going to be a part of our what we see from college football over the next, you know, 4 or 5 years. And if you're a player, you know, and you're a guy who's had some success, but you feel like you can play at the next level, you feel like maybe you want to compete for a championship, you're going to see some of these guys go out there, like I mentioned, a De'Aaron King or somebody, where you think that, listen, I want to go maybe to a Power 5 school, and I'm going to have success there, and I'm going to take my career to the next level. So why not go ahead and use the portal? So I think the portal's been will have some success. There's always going to be some successes, but there's always going to be some negatives from it as well, because way too many kids are jumping into it, way too many kids who aren't finding homes. And I think that's something that eventually the higher-ups in college football are going to look at and try to find a way maybe to weed some of that out.
National College Football Insider Matt Mershell of the Orlando Sentinel with us on ESPN Upstate. Flipping to Clemson, since we are in Clemson country, the upstate of South Carolina here. When you look at Trevor Lawrence, last night's performance as compared to his entire resume of work over two seasons, how much do you think such a tough loss, such a tough performance is going to impact him going forward? And will it impact him positively or negatively going into next season?
Oh, I think it's going to be a positive. I think he'll use this as motivation. I mean, one of the things about putting together a long winning streak like Clemson had in 29 games was, you know, sometimes you don't face necessarily the adversity that you do when you lose a game here or there. And I think having this loss, especially at the national championship level, will be something that I think he'll motivate him. You know, there was some discussion about, will Trevor Lawrence just sit out next year, you know, and then wait and go to the NFL draft. And I thought that was all, you know, I thought that was all just never going to happen. And I think now that he's had this loss, I think this is something that will definitely motivate him to go out next season and perform better, try to get the program back to where they can be playing for another national championship. So from my mind, this isn't something that's going to be a negative for him. This is something all players have to experience and go through. And I think it's still going to help him grow. And I think Dabo Sweeney's a good coach to help him with that. You know, a guy who's definitely has seen some losses, some tough losses, and seen some big wins. I think he'll be able to use that as motivation for all the players who are going to be back next year.
Well, Vegas has already chimed in. They're already saying next year it's Clemson favored to win it all. It's Trevor Lawrence favored to win the Heisman. How likely do you see that being for both Clemson and Trevor Lawrence?
Well, I think, you know, you look at the top of the echelon of teams this year, you know, they all have some holes to fill. I mean, you look at LSU, obviously losing Joe Burrow. They're going to have to identify a quarterback position. They'll probably have to fill some holes on the offensive side of the football. You look at a team like Alabama, which is losing Tua Tagovailoa. They're going to have to find somebody who steps in, whether it's Mac Jones or someone else. You know, you look at Georgia, like I mentioned, they're having a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the premier teams at the top are going to have some question marks, are to fill some spots. So I think for Clemson, it's good, you know, I mean, that Trevor Lawrence is coming back. I think that's a chance, an opportunity maybe for them to play. I think the ACC is going to be better next year. Mm-hmm. I think you saw a little bit of that this year. You're going to see some of the teams like Louisville and North Carolina, Virginia, those kind of programs. Maybe Florida State will get a little bit better. I mean, those kind of things will help Clemson along as well, and will help their, you know, schedule, help their when they put together a win streak. It's not going to nearly be knocked down as much as it was this year because of the weakness of the ACC. So I think Clemson is in a good spot. I think Trevor Lawrence could win the Heisman, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be one of those things where, again, you're competing with a lot of these big-name quarterbacks and running backs. He's got the best chance. He's been doing good things for the last 2 years. You think it's almost time for his due now.
Orlando Sentinel National College Football Insider Matt Mershell with us on ESPN Upstate. Back to LSU, obviously the stories, the topics of conversation all surround the guys who put up the numbers last night, Joe Burrow, Chase, and everybody else that was scoring points, Moss as well. Who would you consider the unsung hero of last night's game for the LSU Tigers?
Well, I think one of the unsung heroes was Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, the talented wide receiver. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, Joe Burrow had a tremendous night. But Chase really set a record himself, you know, being top receiver. I felt like he really just abused Clemson's secondary. I mean, they just didn't have an answer for him. And he was able to find little holes and creases in the secondary that was able to take advantage of it and put up big numbers. And I think that was something that was huge for them. I also thought, you know, really as a whole, I thought LSU's defensive line did a great job as well. I thought they came in and applied some pressure, really kind of shook some things up, especially in the second half, and made sure that, you know, Trevor Lawrence really couldn't find the kind of, you know, time that he needed. Even when he was able to kind of get out of the pocket, and the pocket collapsed and he ran scrambled a little bit, they weren't letting him have those big runs that he had against Ohio State. So those, to me, were probably the two biggest factors looking at last night when you're looking at LSU's win.
One last thing before we let you go, you know, long way out, one day into the offseason, obviously looking forward, you're always looking forward into the next season. Are there any teams that are coming out of the 2019 season that you think are going to make an insane step forward into 2020 and surprise everybody next fall?
Well, I would say look at Louisville. I mean, I mentioned the Louisville. I mean, Scott Satterfield did a great job this year. You know, Louisville went from 2 wins to 8 wins in the first year under Scott Satterfield. They've got a lot of talent coming back. I'm not saying they're going to win the ACC, but I think there's an opportunity there to be a big challenger to Clemson, where we say it. And I'm going to throw another ACC team in there. It's North Carolina with Mac Brown. I mean, this is a team that, you know, we saw development out of a freshman quarterback in Sam Howell. He looks great. The offense returns lots of talent. The ACC Coastal is always wide open. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a chance North Carolina can make some big news. They play some big teams out of conference, including UCF. I think there's going to be an opportunity for them to make some big noise. So those are right now are the two maybe just names that you wouldn't necessarily think of out of the usual suspects that we see year in and year out.
So not South Carolina, sadly.
I think the problem South Carolina has is going to be the fact that they play in the SEC East, and we see that Florida's at that elite level. We're seeing that Georgia's going to be elite. You look at what Tennessee has done. Tennessee is getting better. You look at the fact that Kentucky has been a decent team year in, year out. It's almost like playing in the West in the SEC. You know, it's hard. You're batting your head against that. I think Will Muschamp is trying to make some big changes. We talked about, I think, last time about making changes to the coaching staff. That should help them out a little bit. It's just going to take some time. I mean, there are going to be some games that maybe people would have thought they would lose that they're going to win. I think they can make a run, but they're going to have to find a way to finish out games. And I think that's something that they struggled with this past year. That's something that you can't really coach, but you hope that some of the players learn from the experience from 2019.
He is Matt Mershell, National College Football Insider for the Orlando Sentinel. Check out his incredibly good college football podcast, Gridiron 365, on iTunes, Android, wherever podcasts are found. Again, follow him on Twitter at @OSMattMershell. Matt, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
No problem. Thank you. Take care.
Always love talking some college football with Matt Mershell of the Orlando Sentinel. But since it is my show and there is actually reason to talk some baseball, I'm going to do it. We're going to talk about this cheating scandal, the latest developments in Major League Baseball, and what I think needs to be done next in the city of Boston with my beloved Red Sox. That's all next as I give you a little taste of Bases Loaded on the Diddy Takeover, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, I was going to talk baseball, but we're scrapping that one because we had a Schefter bomb on the Twitter sphere. This is breaking news powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the mid-size Metris from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Huge, huge news in the NFL world, and it's right up the street from us. The Carolina Panthers have a new member of their coaching staff, and his name is Joe Brady.
Oh, this is so shocking.
Holy crap. Here's the tweet from Schefter. LSU's passing game coordinator Joe Brady has told people today that he is in planning to return to the NFL and the Carolina Panthers, per league sources. Wow. That is monstrous news and such a big get for Coach Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers to get their offense moving forward. Now the big question is, and we were just talking about it in the break.
Oh, this is so much fun.
What do you do? What do you do at the quarterback position to fit Joe Brady? Is Joe Burrow even an option? Maybe he is. Panthers, the 7th pick. Can they package a deal? What was the deal you just proposed?
All right, here's the deal. You trade your number 7 pick, you trade your 2nd round pick, and you trade Cam Newton for the number 1.
Would they take it? That could be an insane turnaround for the Carolina Panthers because there's talent all over the place. They need a lot of help on the offensive line. So you got to worry, do we trade away picks and lose a chance to build the offensive line? But if you can get Joe Burrow, who just put up 60 touchdowns and, 5,600 yards, I think we almost got to, in one season under Joe Brady, oh boy, that could be insane.
And by the way, you're bringing your system with you.
Yeah.
He knows that system. Oh, man. The first thing we did was look to see where the Panthers are picking, and they're picking at 7.
7's not out of the realm.
That puts them in range depending on what they're willing to trade, and I think Tepper would be willing to trade a good bit if it makes them winners next year. And does Joe Brady, with Joe Burrow coming in, does that make the Panthers a contender right away?
I mean, it's tough to say it because we really don't know what's going to happen with the quarterback position. So it's tough to know how it's going to fit. If it is going to be Cam, if it's going to be somebody new, if it's going to be one of the backups they already have, it's all going to kind of fall into place as we go. But man, if they could make something happen to where they could move up to the number one spot and get Joe Burrow in Carolina blue with Joe Brady calling the plays, it's nothing but sky's the limit, right? It's got to be all uphill.
But is it worth it? Is it worth giving up some first-round picks or something in the next couple years' draft to do this? Or is it worth taking a risk on this kid, even though we saw what he did this season underneath this offensive coordinator with a pro-style offense? Is it worth taking a shot at it? I think it might be.
Man. And, the offensive ranking for the Panthers last year, 28th in offensive efficiency. They needed a guy like Joe Brady, an offensive mind. And this still continues to fit the bill of what Tepper's been talking about. New school and old school. He's mixing new school and old school in the entire staff, it seems like. And I'm baffled. I am baffled because we saw some rumors. We saw some things talked about over the last couple of weeks as far as if Joe Brady was or wasn't talking NFL, and it kind of kept getting poo-pooed by everybody. Like, oh no, he's focusing on the national champ. He's focusing on the national championship. And the next day, a Schefter bomb. It's crazy. Tell us what you think. Panther fans, we know you're out there. Are you excited now? Are you freaking out? Are you just losing it? And do you think the Carolina Panthers can make this trade, make a move, somehow move up and get Joe Burrow? Give us a call, 844-477-3776. Text us on the text line, 71307. Start the message with ESPN or get us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We want your initial reactions. Joe Brady coming to the Carolina Panthers. Your calls, your texts, your tweets, and a check-in on your polls is all next on ESPN Upstate.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Things have gotten very interesting here on the Diddy Takeover today with the breaking news. Again, breaking news powered by Radio.com Sports, brought to you by the Midsize Metris by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Joe Brady, the mastermind behind the LSU offense of 2019, the offense that has got us all talking about if LSU is the greatest college football team of all time, he's coming to Carolina to coach the Panthers under Matt Rhule. His offense is coming to Charlotte. And what does that mean? Oh my goodness. I do love our conversations we're having off air about if Joe Burrow can come, if they can figure it out. But I do also agree with our tweeter, Spurge, who actually is who tipped me off to this. So thank you, Spurge, for the tip off to this Schefter tweet while we were talking to Matt Mershell. He says, Joe Burrow means too much to the state of Ohio. No way in hell the Bengals pass on him. Not going to happen. That's probably true. There's too many ties, I think, for them to pass on this with what he's accomplished and what he's done on the biggest stage. But, man, it would be cool if the Panthers could figure that out.
But listen, if they sweeten the pot to a certain degree,
they
will pass because they're Cincinnati.
I'm not sure that Cam Newton's that sweetener, though. I don't know if he's sweet enough.
I will tell you, a healthy Cam Newton puts butts in seats.
How soon does he have to be healthy, though? We're going to need him healthy before the combine time, when we really start getting into the picks?
Not necessarily.
Or at least by the draft.
Well, by the draft,
it's
for sure.
May. Yeah, that you got to get things going. I don't know. That's going to be tough. And if they don't, we've posed this question to each other already as well. We'll pose it to you guys listening in. If they don't do that, if it isn't Joe Burrow, if it's not Cam Newton, where do you go? Do you draft quarterback? Do you look at Jake Fromm? Do you look at Herbert? Do you look at these quarterbacks coming out right now? Hurts, even maybe. Somebody who he can transform into this type of quarterback that we saw Joe Burrow become this year under Joe Brady's tutelage and his offensive game planning. It's going to be really, really fun to watch this Carolina Panthers offseason. Derek is on the line. He wants to talk Panthers. Derek, welcome in to the Diddy Takeover.
How y'all doing? This is my thing. Why is everybody so gung-ho about getting rid of Cam? I mean, you see what happens when Cam actually has an offensive line to block for him. So you're willing to mortgage the future, give up Cam and a first round, a second round pick, which you use to get off of the lineman to protect Cam. And then let's say you just do that trade, give away Cam, the first and second round pick. So now you have no offensive lineman to block for Joe Burrow, and now you're going to get beat up like Matthew Stafford did when he was in his rookie year. Keeps getting beat up. Now you kill the kid's confidence. Or you can say, well, you know what? Keep Cam. Let's see how you do one more year. Mm-hmm. Get an offensive line to block for him. And then if it still doesn't work out, guess who's coming out next year? Trevor Lawrence. Now, who makes more sense? Joe Burrow from Ohio to play in Carolina, or get somebody from Clemson right down the road to bring butts in the seats to play in Carolina. Stop trying to play checkers and play chess and think of the long game. You need to have offensive linemen to block for Cam. When he had offensive linemen to block for Cam, you had the league's top rushing team. Mm-hmm. He went to the Super Bowl with a great offensive line. Get somebody to block for Cam so he actually can stay in the pocket and in the side of the run and open up better holes for Christian McCaffrey, because you don't want to use up Christian McCaffrey now, because now if he keeps getting hit and hit and hit, then a great career that could probably last 8 years or last 5 or 6.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep Cam and see what happens next year. That's my thoughts about it. Y'all have a good rest of the evening.
Absolutely. You do the same, Derek. Thank you very much for the call. Good insight there.
And by the way, we just had that conversation off the air.
We did have that off the air.
We did. We didn't get to it on the air. And it's all speculative.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what they should do. What we're saying is this is what they could do.
Yeah. And with that being out there in the atmosphere and a possibility because of Joe Brady and what he was able to do, let's go to the numbers. I'm pulling it up right now. 628 total yards last night against the ranked number one defense in the country against yards in yards per game. They scored 42 points in a national championship game against a team that hadn't lost in 2 years. His offense has been insane. So, and he did it with Joe Burrow. So it's a fun idea to think if you could do it with him there, do it with him here as well.
I love Cam. I do. I defend Cam all the time, but we don't know if Cam's ever going to be healthy. And if you can use him as a bargaining chip to get something, the shiny new toy, because that's what it comes down to. I'm just picturing that backfield with Christian McCaffrey, with Joe Burrow, and what they can do there. And yeah, they need offensive linemen. They need a lot of things. And there are other places where they can get that sort of thing. So, and we'll see what happens. They may not do any of that.
Yeah, and there's other quarterbacks that could come out and could be available. I wouldn't put it past a couple of the other options in this draft to be options that he could turn into what he turned Joe Burrow into. Jake Fromm, if you look at the last couple of years, was far and away better than Joe Burrow until this year. Far and away better. And to be honest, in a worse offense than some of the places. So I think that if you look at last year, especially the 1 year that Joe Burrow played the whole season, Fromm was far and away a better quarterback. Maybe he can draft Fromm and turn him into that. Maybe Herbert, maybe Hurts, any of these guys coming out. And that way it might not have to take as high of a pick or giving up any weapons. And you can also kind of fall back on, if Cam's healthy, we can even develop this guy more behind him. But the biggest question for me and why I worry about the future when Cam Newton's involved is because of his health and because of his inability to stay healthy in the last handful of years. And it's just an unfortunate circumstance of probably mostly bad refereeing and them not protecting him, even though they protected every other quarterback in football besides him, and letting him get so many hits that he shouldn't have maybe taken or should have been flagged to deter. And it's just an unfortunate fact that he is a guy who has been oft injured in recent history. And that has to be a concern for a new coach, a new staff, and a new owner who don't have that long-term relationship with Cam that the last regime did.
Let me throw something out there that you might enjoy. What would a Joe Brady, Tom Brady offense look like?
Oh, my God. They do need an offensive line for him, though. He can't
Well,
move.
Then you can use those picks.
All the picks can go to O-line.
Yeah, there you go.
You've got the defense. If they stay healthy, they're very good. And if they can get it together, better defensive coordinator, better defensive play calling, I think they can be a pretty solid
unit.
And
you can stay where you are at 7 and pick the best lineman.
Yeah, pick that best offensive lineman at 7. Pick another offensive lineman with your next pick and your next pick and your next pick and your next pick. Just keep picking offensive linemen because you got Tom Brady and all these weapons. And you keep Cam Newton. So if Cam Newton comes back healthy and Tom Brady is hitting the cliff, falling off the cliff, going away, you replace him right away with Cam Newton. And if he's healthy and he's happy, he can ball. So all of these factors go in. And the fun of this is the fact that it's a big question mark. And we're just now getting so much more excited.
It's also a great get for Rhule. It really is.
Huge get for Rhule and his staff going into his first season as an NFL head coach. And a huge, huge moment in Carolina Panthers history. This is a sign of exactly what Tepper told us he was going to do. Wholesale changes and strive for greatness. He does not want mediocrity. He's making moves to avoid mediocrity going forward. We're going to keep talking Panthers. We'll get back into the national championship game that was and talk a little more NFL playoffs. All of that and much more. The last half hour of the Diddy Takeover leading you into Clemson Duke is next on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.